Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Great, we've been growing and it's been fantastic, but if you look around Sundays like today, you know it's not much longer till this room really is at capacity. And so we've had all kinds of issues lately. We've had car parking issues, we've had taps on the shoulder by the council kind of issues, I'm pretty sure that as a building right now, this is actually over capacity legally for our council. And so we want to make sure that we actually honour the authorities of the land. We actually honour the leadership that's in our councils and in our governments. And so we have made the decision after prayer and really after seeking God and fasting to take that next step to go double services here at our Belmont campus. 9 and 11 a.m. service, which is so exciting. And so from April the 5th, we'll be doing that, and you know, it's a new room, it's a new space, and you know, Gaz, do you have all the resources, all the teams, all the logistics sorted out? Do you have all the logic in your head? So no, I don't. Do you have everything planned? No, I don't. But I know a God who does, and I need to tell you that my confidence in this is not from any good thought that Pastor Ken or Chrissy have. It's not from any amazing message that I can preach. My confidence comes from God. It's solely from God. I look back on my life and every single season I've been in, He's been faithful. 100%. Without a shadow of a doubt right now, I can tell you from when I was born and from when I was born prematurely, shouldn't have survived. From when I was rolled under a car and I should have, you know, not been here, to when my wife should have passed away multiple times in our life. We've looked back and in every single season, God has been faithful. And if you were to ask me right now, Gareth, how do you know? Listen, I just know because it's who He is. He's a faithful God and He keeps His promises all the time. And so we're going to be launching our 9 and 11 a.m. Over the next few weeks. If you're serving on teams, connect group leaders, all that kind of stuff, we're obviously having meetings coming up and we're going to be chatting to different people over the next few weeks. Logistically, we don't have it all together yet, but we're just praying into that and really helping to lead into that, really helping to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us in all those different spaces. But I want to encourage you, keep us in prayer. What can you do? You can awaken. You can awaken to prayer in this next season. You can awaken to prayer, not just a Sunday prayer, not just a revival Monday night prayer, although come to that and lend your faith in that arena where we can corporately gather, but awaken to prayer every single day. Pray for this campus. Pray for our double services. This isn't just my house. This is your house. Come on, this is your campus. Come on. I'm underwhelmed by your response. This is your campus. And so why don't you pray? Why don't you continue to lift us up in prayer? Also, awaken to what God has given you stewardship over. It's like, Gareth, that sounds a bit pushy. No, it's biblical. Come on, if God has given you the ability to be great with people, if He's given you the ability to be great with kids, serving our kids ministry, if He's blessed you with someone who people just love to talk to, they're naturally drawn to, why don't you serve on our people's team? Why don't you serve on our worship or production team? If you're great, if you're musically gifted, I don't know, if you can't, maybe work, maybe health, whatever it is, just continue to be a good steward with your finances. Whatever God has given you, understand that He has given it to you. Come on, He has given whatever is in your hands right now, He has gifted it to you. What a shame it would be for us as a people to not be good stewards of what God has given us. And so in this next season, you know, guys, should we come to the 9 and 11 service? Should we come to double services? Should we be here all the time? That's between you and God. You pray about that. I'm not going to tell you anything. If you know us, Jess and myself, if you know us as a church, we're not into all that kind of stuff, but we are into you hearing from heaven. We are into you hearing from the Holy Spirit. So pray about it. Help us lead. Help us set that up. If you serve in one, we're creating space for you now to come and sit in a service. So if you serve on people's team, you serve on the kids' team, you serve on whatever other team there is, hospitality, whatever it looks like, you can actually now sit in a service, be ministered to, actually receive, invite your friends, invite your family to that service. If you come to, you're serving at the 11, come to the 9, receive, then serve. If you're serving at the 9, stick around, stay for the 11, then receive. Why are we doing it? We're doing it because we want to be good stewards and we want to make sure that every single person, when they come to a service on Sunday, that there is something spiritual that's being deposited into your life. There is something spiritual that's been deposited into your heart. And so pray with us, be with us on this journey. But I'm so excited. God's doing a new thing. Never ever forget in this room, there are people in this very room right now that prayed for moments like this 25 years ago. Just think about that for a second. When you start to get content, when you start, oh, this is no big deal. Think about it. There was someone wearing holes in this ground 20 years ago praying for seasons like we're in right now. There are people who used to come to this building, have to set up, pack down, pack everything away, set everything up some 25 years ago who prayed for days like today, for moments like this season that we're entering into. Let's not be ignorant of what God is doing. Come on. Let's put our faith and partner with what God is doing in this next season. Amen. Can I give a round of applause for Jesus and what he is doing? In the very, very short time I have left with you, I'm going to share a really quick message. And if you've got your Bibles, you've got your notepads, whatever it is, I want to speak to an awakening to God's timing. Awakening to God's timing. Romans 13, 11 to 14. Passion Translation should be a verse that I hope all of you are looking at, all of you are really studying throughout this whole year. It's a verse, it's a passage that as a church we're diving into deeper this year. And Paul writes it, and he says this, hey, to live like this, as in to live as if what I'm about to tell you is all the more urgent, for time is running out. And you know it is a strategic hour in human history. It's time for us to wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Night's darkness is dissolving away into a new day of destiny dawns. We must once and for all strip away all that is done in the shadows. It talks about removing it like filthy clothes and talks about waking up to this new day. And it ends with this in verse 14. Instead, fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken to its selfish desires. Awaken. I don't have time to fully unpack the context of what Paul was speaking to and the church he was speaking to at the time, but he was talking to a church in many ways just like the one you're sitting in right now, in a great, thriving socioeconomic area. And he was telling them, hey, wake up. Wake up to God's timing. You know, as a parent, as a young parent, one of the worst things about really being a young parent is the sleep. Is there any parents in the house right now? Just show a hand if you've got kids. If you've had newborns before, you have kids right now. Come on, show of hands. Come on, let me see the parents in the room. A lot of parents in the room. I know who I'm talking to right now. You should be amening me till the cows come home. Like the lack of sleep. One of the worst things is if your kids are like waking up at like, you know, 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. and you find yourself waking up at that like, you know, that 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. slot. And it's not early enough to wake up and go back to bed because, you know, the kids are about to wake up. And it's not late enough for you to just be like, man, I kind of feel good. I'm okay here. It's this awkward time. You can't really go and do anything. You don't have time to just, you know, whether it's going doing a workout or you don't have time to really sit down with your Bible because the time is too short in between. And so you find yourself kind of in no man's land. You're like, what do I do? It's an awakening, but the timing isn't quite right. Timing isn't quite there. And quite simply, I want to submit to you this morning, Nations Belmont, that in all of our lives, in all of our comings and goings, in everything that we do in life, we have a decision each and every single day. Will we operate our lives according to our timing or to God's timing? Each and every minute that ticks by on your clock, you have to ask yourself, am I living this life according to my timing or to God's timing? John chapter 7, we don't have time to unpack it fully, is this great passage. Jesus is with some people, and the Jews want to hunt him down. They want him to do something. They want to catch him off guard so they can start the process, so they can put him to prison, so they can put him to death. They want to start the process. So they say, hey, Jesus, show us some miracles. Like, surely it's not good enough for you to just do what you're doing in private. So can you show us something publicly? They were baiting Jesus. And Jesus says something interesting. He says to them this, guys, my time is not yet now. Like, I'm not yet ready. You are always ready. You're always ready because you're always operating in your own timing. You're always ready because you're always doing whatever you want to do, whatever it is that you feel like doing when you wake up, you're doing it, so you just keep doing it. But I know, see, Jesus spoke before in Mark chapter 5, and he said, listen, I don't do anything without my Father knowing. I don't do anything that my Father doesn't tell me to do. Everything that I hear, everything that I see, everything that I do is done because of my Father, because of His timing, because of what He wants me to do. And at times in our lives, what we do is we kind of mask our timing as God's timing, and then because we do, we kind of want to call our fruit as divine fruit, right? We want to say, hey, well listen, God, I'm doing this because you wanted me to do it, and yeah, the fruit is great, but is it His divine fruit? That's a tricky question to answer. Do we actually ask God for what's next, or do we just ask for His opinion of what's next? Do we actually ask God, hey, what's next? Or do we ask Him for His actual opinion of what's next? On the surface, it might sound the same, but it's totally different. Because you took that job, and the rent went up, and Christmas was coming, and the kids' school fees went up. And it came across your emails, and it felt great. It felt like it ticked all the boxes that you needed to tick. And so you took the job. Because it's ticked the boxes. You filled the praise report out. And you told people about the company car that you got. You told people about, man, the salary is just incredible. I mean, and the community that I'm working in, I just feel like, wow, this is just incredible. And you're telling people about the fruit of it. Something happens on the way. From one thing or another, job gets bad, job gets difficult. Maybe they let you go. You're angry at God. Because God, wasn't this your divine fruit for me? Like, wasn't this the prosperity that you promised me, God? Like, wasn't this you providing for my family? But I wonder how many times God's there saying, yeah, but hold, I hear you, but did you even ask me about it? Like, I know it ticked the boxes for you. Did you actually ask me about it? Or did you just want my opinion? You know when you just want someone's opinion? Where you're like, yeah, and God's like, hey, could you tithe? And yeah, God, yeah, cool. Hey, Gareth, I'd love you to step out and serve in that area. Gareth, I'd love you to start evangelizing to that person at your workplace. Gareth, I'd love you to maybe just bless your neighbors, just take him a dinner and just say, hey, I love you, and I just want to thank you, and I know you've been doing it tough lately, or hey, I see you've just had a new baby, and I just want to give you this meal. No strings attached, and you know, why don't you just do that? Why don't you just do this? And God speaks to you. And your response is this. Because this is at times my response. God, that's cool. And you're entitled to your opinion. Right? Who said that to someone in their life? You know, when they're talking to you and they're giving you all this info, and you're like, yeah, I hear you. And listen, you're entitled to your opinion. Sometimes we treat our relationship with God that way. Hey, God, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. And I hear it, and I'm just gonna park it for a second. I'm just gonna leave it in the corner for a second. And the question I feel like the local church needs to ask in this season is in two forms. It's number one, did you actually listen to God? Did we actually, before making that next move, before taking that next step, did you actually listen to God? And then number two, did you actually allow time to actually hear His voice? Like, you can listen, but move on because you don't want to wait for the reply. And you can wait for a reply, but not even ask a question. So you're just getting angry because you're not getting a reply, but you actually never asked God what was next. And this whole message is really a prelude to what we're going to unpack in the next few months, which is literally this awakening to prayer. Because you can't know God's timing without communication. And communication is spelled in six letters, P-R-A-Y-E-R, prayer. Prayer. You can't walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Walk in His divine will, walk in His divine plan, be prompted and directed by the Holy Spirit without actually having a clear communication channel to God. And that is your prayer life. That's why as a church, we're passionate about prayer. Why? Because if we weren't passionate about prayer, this would be a concert. Come on. You'd come here and you'd be like, man, I've, on Sundays, I've got a great motivational speaker. He pumps me up. I feel good. I feel like Rocky. I feel like I can take on the world. And I walk out of church and I feel good. But you'd have no substance on Monday morning. And you'd go to your friends, man, our worship is incredible at church. And the lights and, oh, man, it just comes up. And Curtis is doing all these cool things on the sound desk. And he's making me feel like I'm alive, man. And I'm singing these cool, hip songs. But it would just be the same as you going and paying $70 and going to a U2 concert. As a church, we wouldn't be doing the will of God because there would be no clear communication with God. Actually listening to his voice. Actually coming to God in prayer and saying, God, I know what at times I want to do. But it's that language of Jesus. God, I know what I want to do. I know what I want to do in this moment. But God, this is painful to say, not my will, but your will be done. It's not easy to say. It's painful, yes. But it's the reality of discipline in our Christian faith. I'm aware that this message might not be the most, you know, sexy message. And you might even want to listen to this again after hearing this message. But it's a discipleship message. And as a church, we need to be disciplined and discipled to know that what we can step into in this new season, we can only go to Scarborough. We can only do double services. We can only get new buildings because it's under direction and the hand of God. Come on. I'm so glad that Jesus wasn't swayed by man's opinion. That he wasn't, hey, Jesus, do a trick for us. Like, do a miracle. Show us who you really are. Listen, yes, Jesus is divine. Yes, he is sovereign. Yes, he knows all things. And who knows how the plan would have ended out if in that moment he acted and did a miracle. But I know this, it would have voided all the miracles to come in the future seasons and future years that he needed to do. It would have voided all the lessons that we read about in the subsequent chapters if the Jews had caught him for doing something then and there. But he knew the timing of God. He knew what God wanted him to do. He knew the will that he had to be walking in God's timing. Nothing will cause you to lose faith quicker in God than to blame him for things that he never called you to in the first place. He never called you to in the first place. I can't tell you how many couples I've had dinner with and sat with and they're separated or they, you know, they were going out or maybe they were engaged or whatever it looked like. They're no longer together and they're saying to me, I don't know how this happens. And inside of me, I'm yelling, I do. I do. Because God was never on this in the first place. Because you just got into the relationship because you needed it, not actually saying, God, is this the right person for me? God, is this actually your will that I should be in this relationship? Is it, God, I'm gonna ask you, but you know what? I'm not gonna take the next step until you actually give me an answer. Otherwise, we come to him and we blame him. God, this is your fault, you know, like you let this happen to me. Why am I here, God? Like, you did it. It wasn't your... He goes, no, like, did you bring it to me in the first place? Did you actually come to me so that when times get tough and I actually gave you that verse to stand on, you can actually stand on it? Or are you standing on some sermon that you heard 5 years ago that had that good phrase or that good line? See, when times get tough, let me tell you, there's nothing that I can preach from this platform that you can stand on. When times get tough in your life, the only thing you can stand on is the Word of God. When times get difficult in your life, the only thing you can do is pray. Like Pastor Ken said last week, when everything around you, when you've got the house and the cars and the properties and the business and everything is going great, but your mom or your grandma is on that sickbed, you can't call upon your car. You can't call upon that rental property. When your grandma needs that miracle, when your neighbor needs that breakthrough in that moment, you can't say, hold up, let me just get the keys to my new vehicle. Let me just go and get the keys to my new house. In that moment, all you can do is pray. Come on. All you can do is pray. We need to be a church that's awakened to God's timing. How do we do that? We do that through prayer. We do that through communication with God. Paul says in Romans 13, as the band joins me, instead, fully immerse yourself in the Anointed One. Fully immerse yourself. Fully immerse yourself in everything that he has for you. And don't waste a moment on your former identity. In other words, you can awaken to the things of God, or you can awaken to the things of yourself. You can awaken to everything that God has for you and the newness of life and all the things that he wants you to step into, or you can awaken to your own timing, the things that you want to do. And let me tell you, when you awaken to God's timing, it's liberating. And I think the thing is, we confuse it because we think God's timing is parallel to man's progress. We think God's timing is the same level as man's progress. Come on, think about it. Like, I don't know, does anyone here work out? Anyone go to the gym or anything? Just give me a hand. You go for runs. I'll put your hands up. All right, Will, I'm picking on you right now, Will. Will works out and someone comes to church and they're like, man, Will, you have lost weight, man. You're looking real good. Like, Will feels good about himself, man. Thanks. I've been working out these biceps and I'm finally glad someone noticed. You know, I wore that tight shirt and I'm glad that someone finally noticed, you know. Had to put it in the wash and the dry cleaning 5 times over so it shrunk a bit, but that's okay. Feels good. Someone comes up to me and is like, guys, hey, is that a new shirt? Looks good. Comes to Jess, hey, Jess, new shoes? Fantastic, look amazing. It's man's version of progress. Think about this. No one comes and says, hey, Cynthia, notice that you dropped that anxiety this week. No one says, hey, Miriam, you really love it how you dropped that unforgiveness this week. No one's like, hey, Darren, it's really great how you've really dropped that issue with your father this week. And God's timing. God's version of progress. Just because you can't see it. But when God's doing something underneath. And what if God's version of progress is far beyond anything that man has ever tried to measure up to in the first place? But I'm so glad that we serve a Jesus who isn't held hostage by man's outcomes. He's not held hostage by man's outcomes. That's why if you walk in his timing, you'll understand just how much of a weight that doesn't need to be carried by you anymore. God's timing is incredibly liberating. When you walk in his wills, when you walk in his ways, when you follow what he has set before you, there is no pressure for you to be anything else than you are. There is no pressure for you to be anyone else. There's no pressure for you to be something else that you're not. You don't need to be the preacher on a Sunday. Listen, you're already ministering to your family in the week. You don't need to be the worship leader on a Sunday saying, everybody, hey, lift your hands. You don't need to be that worship leader. You're already doing it in the car on your way to work. You're already doing it on your run in the morning or your workout in the gym. You don't need to have that title of elder to be praying for your church and for your leaders. You're already doing that Monday to Friday when you wake up 5 minutes early. Listen, it's liberating to know that when I'm walking in God's plan and his purposes and his destiny, I don't need to be anyone else but what God has called me to be, because after all, he's directing my steps. Come on, he's directing my steps. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I just feel the Holy Spirit over this service just since we got here, since we started worship. Thank you, Jesus. God's timing, your timing. God, we don't want to be a church that moves by our own timing and our own ways and our own outcomes and our own plans. We understand that it is you who direct our steps. Father, it's you who build your church. Every head bowed and eyes closed. If you're saying, guys, listen, I need to come back to Jesus. I haven't made that decision before to accept him as my Lord and Savior. And in this moment, I've heard you speak about a Jesus who wants you to walk according to his ways and his will and his life. And you said that, you know, he has the best for you, that what he has is incredibly liberating. Gareth, I want to have that relationship. I don't want religion any longer. I want relationship. I'm going to count to three, give you the opportunity to slip your hand up nice and high to heaven. You make that decision and say, Gareth, I want to come back to Jesus. I want to be in relationship. I'm not offering you religion, friend. Purely right now, relationship with the Savior of the world who said that I love you so much. I look through the eyes of eternity waiting for this moment that you would come back to my house and I would welcome you in with open arms. One, two, with every eye closed and head bowed. Three, if that's you, just lift your hands nice and high. You say, Gareth, I want to make that decision. I want to come home again. Or maybe I made a decision before, and right now I want to rededicate my life again. Thank you, Jesus, just for a few more moments. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Just stand to your feet all across this place and keep your head bowed, eyes closed. We're going to finish up very, very, very shortly. But I want to pray for you. Would you stretch your hands out to heaven all across this place? Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. Even as I preach this message, even as we did all our honoring this morning and announcements and talking you through the next season of church, I felt a burden of expectation to deliver that message and that word that I don't even know how much I did it justice to it in the notes that I had, but I felt like it was just a word in season, not just for this campus, but for our church as a whole. And I want to pray for you because I know there's people in this room and you can take the easy option. You can do life in your own strength. You could do life in your own timing. But right now, God wants to say, hey, trust me again. Because at the root of all of this, at the root of trusting in using and walking in God's timing, the root of everything is this. Do you trust his plans? Do you trust his ways far above anything that you can do in your own might and in your own power? That's the root of it all. Some of you, maybe you've been burnt before. You find it hard to trust. Or some of you are so quick to kind of move on into different things and want to do things and kind of keep being active. But you need to know that God's in your working and he's also in your waiting. Doesn't matter what season you find yourself in, God is there. God is with you. And his ways are higher than anything that you could ever imagine. And for some people in this room, I get the sense that even right now, you're in a season of limbo. And it's like you're saying, you know what, if only I could get that prophetic word, or if only that person when they saw me could say this, or if only someone could see me, and but God says, hey, come back to me. And I feel like this is a message that some people in this room, you needed to hear, because God says, hey, have you asked it of me? Have you listened to me? Have you brought it before? Have you come confidently? Because you can enter boldly before my throne. And everything you need to awaken to is right at my feet. All you need to do is come. Father, for every hand that's lifted in this place, I pray that we would be a church that knows of your divine timing. That we would be awakened to your ideas, to your plans, to your ways, to your will. Father, we might have good plans. We might even have great plans. We might even have great timing ourselves. But Father, at the end of the day, we trust that your ways are higher than our ways. Father, we stand united as a church right now. That for the season that we enter into right now, we don't do it because of a clever strategy. We don't do it because of a clever idea. We do it because of the breath of God breathing on what He wants to do in this next season. So Father, right now we declare as a church that even though You are doing a new thing, we stand here and we perceive it in Jesus' name. We perceive what You're doing and we align with Your ways. We awaken to Your calling. We awaken to everything You have for us.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.